Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atatula. Luke Morrow in for John Lopez today. Of course, Figgy Fig still here. And might I say, crushing the diet, buddy. I see you in there eating that fruit.
Man, I'm trying to, man. I'm trying to. It's week two.
Week two. Are you going to start doing the weigh-in with the fellas on the drive?
Nah, I ain't get to that point.
He said, y'all not getting those numbers.
Yeah. Honestly, I wanted to just try this new, lack of better word, diet. I don't want to call it a diet, but my sister, y'all probably know, she's a professional bodybuilder. And her daily routine is insane, where she eat the same thing every single day. So I'm like, you know what? Let me try that. So this is week two.
All right.
Look. I don't see how she do it, man. Salute to her. It's just grilled chicken, rice, and some type of green, which is broccoli or something like that. She do that every single day.
No, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like dressings or condiments? Like
nope.
Just regular grilled chicken?
Yep.
Regular rice?
Yeah. Buddy, I'm about to go get a po' boy right now. So like,
that sounds so good,
Couldn't do it. But yeah, salute to you. Continue to do that. All right. Which of these Houston teams now has the best opportunity to win a championship? It feels like Kevin Durant, not feels like, this is a move that you do in order to put you in a significantly better footing in order to go and contend with the likes of the now NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder. And I believe that it does give you a significant step towards that place. I do think I still need to see, as we discussed, I still need to see that offense kind of situated pretty nicely. But I think that the defense should still be able to hold up. You have a lot of these young guys who are ready to step into an even more expanded role as you want them to. But it does feel like, hey, man, they have a good shot, as evidenced by, I think I saw Bet Online have these odds of the Thunder having the next best or the best odds of winning the championship next year, which is understandable with that team being really well situated and just winning the championship this year. But then your Houston Rockets, second best odds, not in the West, in the league to win the championship. How does that compare? Does it feel like they have the best odds, or are they in the best situation? Are the Texans now in a great situation now that the offensive line is, you know, there's been some addressing it, Nick Cayley coming in with a different offense, CJ Stroud having more control? Or is it these Astros? It seems like even though they are down, they are never out, winning series up and down the lineup, even as they've lost many bodies, many arms, many bats to injury, they continue to do this. And if the reinforcements come, are they best situated for a championship?
I think it has to be the Rockets. Now, obviously, like you said, I mean, they're number two right now in the odds. I doubt the Texans or the Astros are that high. In fact, I know the Astros are about seventh last I saw, which was last week.
Let me do some looking.
Yeah, and the Texans, I'm sure, are further down. In fact, I saw a couple weeks ago, I think the Steelers have the same Super Bowl odds as the Texans, which I thought was a little offensive to the Texans. But when it comes to the Texans specifically,
how can you bet against Aaron Rodgers at this age?
Oh, please.
How can you do that?
Get out of here.
Him in an Arthur Smith offense?
Yeah.
are you not entertained?
By the way, RIP, Arthur Smith's father just passed away over the weekend.
Fred Smith.
The billionaire, yeah.
Bigger impact of Fred Smith, creating overnight delivery or getting Dan Snyder out of here? Which is the bigger impact? I'm not joking. Like, which is a bigger impact? Because it feels
overnight delivery, please. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
How about not to go off on a tangent, but the whole story of like they were about to go out of business and he gambled the last $5,000.
That is the wildest thing.
Playing blackjack.
I can't remember what years it was, but yeah, he took the company's last liquid $5,000 and took it to Vegas and turned it into 27. Was it, or was it?
Yeah,
like, yeah,
$27,000.
Turned it into 27 to help them get by just a little bit longer. So Federal Express would have ceased to exist if he had put it all on red. You know what I mean? Like,
crazy.
What a time to be alive.
I heard you guys talking about this, I think, a week or two ago. Do you think it's more impressive for the son or daughter of a rich person to go out and make their own name for themselves? Or because you have that comfortable landing, it's almost easier to go out, do your own thing. Like Arthur Smith was grinding as this quality control coach, making no money as a football coach. But I'm like, yeah, if it doesn't pan out, you just go home to your billionaire father. So I don't know. Is it more impressive when they forge their own path?
It's a little bit impressive because I'm like, damn, like to me, like just hearing that, I would be like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, right.
Like I ain't got time to be dealing with these sorry ass teams and losing records. And now I'm in Pittsburgh with this quarterback. Like, nah, yeah. I'm going home.
Yeah.
Let me go home. Like, I ain't got to do anything for real.
That's how I look at it. I do think it's easier still because they have a big safety net. But to get back to the original question, yeah, the Texans for me, I just feel like the Texans have too many questions for me to still feel comfortable about them competing at that highest level. The offensive line, the weapons for the offense, the play caller offensively. I think I feel pretty good about the defense. So I can't say the Texans. What's interesting to me is the fact that the Astros, I think, are in the easier league of their sport. Like the AFC is better than the NFC. The Western Conference is better than the Eastern Conference. But I do think the National League is better than the American League, and so that benefits the Astros. And the Astros are playing so well. They have, what, the second-best record in the AL with all those missing pieces. And the hope and the expectation is you're going to get Yordan back soon, and you're going to get McCullers and Arrighetti and some of these other arms back. And if they're already playing this well and you add those other pieces, then, boy, maybe we should really take this Astros team seriously as a World Series contender. But with all of that said, I don't know, when you add Durant and you have the second best odds to win a championship, I don't know how it can't be the Rockets, especially when you consider the fact that we haven't had a repeat champion in now 7 straight years in the NBA. So theoretically, like that door is open for a new team to step through. And if the Thunder are the Vegas favorites, but we don't anticipate a repeat champion, then that would therefore make the Rockets the favorite of this new parity era in the NBA next year, so I think you have to say the Rockets.
Is that the 9th straight? No, it can't be. All right, so let me go back. How many non-repeat champions have we had in a row in the NBA? So you have the Thunder now. 2023 was Celtics. 22 was Warriors. 21 was Bucks. 20 was Lakers. 19 was Raptors. 18 is the last. The last different one. So yeah, we
7 different champs.
7th different champion, and it feels like if that continues, yeah, man, that takes the Thunder out of that. I think you're right. I think it is the Rockets. This is with the second best odds. I think last time I checked, it was 15-2 odds for the Rockets compared to the Texans. Have the 12th best odds, courtesy of FanDuel Sports at a plus 2,500, and then the Astros 7th best odds plus 1,400. Looking at it, I think you're right, and I think it's also because when you add a player, any individual player in a basketball game, just off the basis of them being 1 of 5 as opposed to 1 of 11 or 1 of, you know, like 1 of 9, right? Like just off of that factor, without even mentioning how important each role is or how much they touch the ball or what have you, it's just going to be you have more impact that can be had. And Kevin Durant is going to have a significantly a big opportunity to have a much, much bigger impact on what's happening here, provided he stays healthy, which for the most part he has been the last couple of years. I think the thing that actually kept him out last year was a foot injury late in the season that I do wonder if the Suns had been better if he wouldn't have played more of those games. You know what I mean? So I do feel like that they are best situated to win. It is a good question that comes in here on the Twitch. What do you see as the Rockets' like death lineup as right now, where you talk about their best lineup, not necessarily their starters, because we had reporting that their starting lineup would look like Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Kevin Durant, Jabari Smith Jr., and Alperen Sengun, which makes sense, and I'm really excited about the possibility of that that lineup, the versatility that's there, the size that they have. But if you just looking at what they have right now, I'm not anticipating any additional moves that they make. What is the lineup that you go, oh, this is going to be a menace for whatever reason that you may have, whether it's like this is going to be an incredible defensive lineup or this is going to be a lineup that scores particularly well? What do you think is that lineup that you see being a real problem for teams?
I mean, it might be that one. I still have questions about Jabari. The only other one was because of the success we saw this past year at that double big lineup is if you throw Steven Adams in there and then mix those two guys, you know, now with a Durant even and see what that looks like. But I think the starting five is, I mean, it's a really good starting five. I don't think there's a lot of weaknesses there other than, like I said, I'd like to see a little more from Jabari this year. I don't know. What changes would you make to the, is it not the, they always say, of course, it's not about the starting five, it's about who finishes the game. So if we were to project forward, like you said, assuming this is the roster moving forward, who's the five on the floor at the end of the game? How different would it be for you from the starting five?
I think it'd probably be those five. The thing that I think would be really intriguing is if you end up in a place where you feel comfortable enough within the with the pairing of either Reed Shepherd and being able to make those decisions and distribute the ball. And then maybe Amen Thompson, who I know came into the league being looked at as could he be a point guard. I'm not sure if I'm there, especially without his ability to shoot. Yeah. I think that without shooting and being the, you know, trying to be the initiator, teams are going to drop under screens. Teams are going to, you know, give you space, and it's going to make it harder for you to do what you need to do as a distributor and as a creator. But if you feel more comfortable about what those guys do, having Reed in that with those other guys that start would be really intriguing as a lineup, because you have then the shooting of probably your three best shooters that I can look at right now, I guess outside of Cam Whitmore, depending on what his rotational impact is, with Reed Shepherd, Jabari Smith Jr., and of course Kevin Durant all on the floor at the same time. I think that you have a lot of shooting there. You would still have probably Jabari and Tari that, you know, or not Tari, Jabari and Amen that give you some really good defensive looks, and then having, you know, a lot of size still there between the other guys. Like, I think that that could be a really intriguing lineup, but it's a good one to mention your double big lineup when with Steven Adams in there. I'm interested to see how viable that continues to be for them. And if that just remains with Jabari Smith Jr. at the three, or even with Kevin Durant at the three, because he ends up being a nice guy that kind of rotates over almost as a big, but I don't know how well he plays necessarily defensively on the perimeter in the same way that Jabari kind of demonstrated himself and his capability to do, especially with his youth. But man, I'm super intrigued by what this looks like, and it does feel like they're best situated. The only thing now, though, is we're looking at these odds, and they bring in a level of experience with KD. Has the entirety of this team learned enough from that one, you know, that one playoff dip for them to be not just one that goes in and goes deep, but that is able to knock off the likes of a Thunder, and then now that has a different level of experience going through some of the tough times of all of this?
I know it's a fair question. Well, I would say it's not apples to oranges. It's different. But what was the case with the Warriors? They lost in the first round, right? When they fired Mark Jackson and they brought in Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
And then what are they doing Kerr's first year? Did they win it all as the first year?
I'm trying to remember which year Steve Kerr's first year was.
I think they did win it all, if I'm not mistaken.
That feels... Yeah, he took over in May of 14, so 14-15 was his first season. That was their first championship.
Yeah, they did win it all.
So, you know, again, not apples and oranges, because they changed coaches, which then amplified Steph Curry, whereas here you're bringing Kevin Durant. But I guess it's somewhat similar of a team that, you know, lost in the first round and then was able to elevate to the championship the next year. But in general, I do agree with your point. I think there's levels to it where you lose in the first round and then maybe you get to the conference finals, and then maybe it's the third year you actually get to the NBA finals, or so on and so forth. You kind of advance another round each year. So that would be a fair concern to see if these guys, the rest of the group, is ready for that stage and that big of a level outside of Durant. But again, like I said, to use the Warriors is not the best example. Maybe just a simple one change like that with Durant and the talent around him, now they can take it all the way to a championship.
I know what you're doing here, 3-4-6, and I'll do it for you anyways. They said, don't forget that Nick Kerr is on the Warrior staff now. Steve Kerr is a criminal for doing that and naming his son Nicholas. He knew damn well what was happening. Okay, so we talked about, if I think we agree that the Rockets are the best chances right now of being a champion, which is kind of amazing. Not to say that they weren't already situating themselves in that way, but that is the effect of bringing in a player of that caliber. Who is second best at this space? And I think that all three of these teams are in a place where, at least when it comes to the odds makers in their leagues, they're top half of the league. Who do you feel like is the next best? Because I know by the odds standards, you would say the Astros. Yeah. Do you agree with that, or do you feel good about the Texans here?
I think I would say the Astros. I think I have more questions about the Texans right now than I do the Astros. I think the American League is easier compared to the National League, whereas the AFC is tougher than the NFC. So, you know, the Texans are in the tougher conference. Astros are in the easier league. And also you hope that the Astros will get even healthier and then better moving forward with the way that they're playing. They have the luxury of being in the middle of their season. So we've seen them, this version of the Astros play well, and expect them to get even better when they get pieces back, where for the Texans, we obviously haven't seen them suit up yet. So I don't have answers to a lot of the questions that I have for this team. And those questions right now for me, keep me from saying Super Bowl contender. I don't think they've done enough to close the gap with, for example, the Ravens and the Chiefs.
No,
and
I
those
wouldn't
are the teams you have to get by most likely in order to win the AFC. So I think I have to go Astros.
No, I think that's a great point about maybe I could get to a place where I could put the Texans over the Astros if we were at this point in the Astros season, but then we had also gotten through training camp for the Texans where I could see and have some level of evaluation of how far along they were with the offensive line in particular, and especially with their ability to run block and pass block and such. But we're not, right? And we are halfway through a baseball, or over halfway through a baseball season where the Astros have positioned themselves very nicely to go to the postseason, which is half. I mean, that's a large part of the job, getting yourself situated to go to the postseason. We know no is probably strong, and I shouldn't put that jinx out there, but I feel pretty confident that the Texans will, you know, punch their ticket to the postseason. But in what caliber and how will they play is a question that's worth asking. But man, I think ultimately the conversation highlights to a great degree just how well situated Houston sports are.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you got all these teams, and at the very least, they are interesting and impactful in their leagues all the way around. And I think it's reasonable if you talk about contending for a championship, Rockets are in that conversation. Astros have put themselves in that conversation. And now we're looking at you, Texans, because we tried to get you there. Maybe we were a little hasty. It's time to show up and do the work so that we can very quickly put you in that conversation if you do what we believe you to do and what they talk about doing, man. We've got Titus Howard out here guaranteeing this is going to be a nasty offensive line. A nasty offensive line with that defense and with the weapons that they have is a team that you consider a contender for a championship.
The last thing I would add to in the Astros versus Texans debate is I think Major League Baseball playoffs have become the most unpredictable of the three. The NBA is still, like, the Thunder were heavy favorites this year, and even though the finals became interesting, they won the championship. And in the NFL, it's somewhat similar where, you know, obviously the Chiefs keep getting there because the Chiefs are the best. So I think those sports are more predictable, where for the Astros, it just feels like if you get into the playoffs, you never know what could happen.
Didn't realize how far we were. I was about to ask another question, and maybe I'll save that for before we hand off to the fellas. But, like, what would you need to see from these teams that like the Astros and the Texans to get them closer to how you feel about the Rockets, right? Obviously, trade deadline coming up for the Astros. The Texans still have an opportunity through the entirety of the season to show you a little something. We'll hold on to that. But right now, coming up next is the time where we hand things off to the man Figgy Fig for Figgy's Mixtape. What you got for us, brother?
Yeah, just imagine being sued over posting a picture of you.
Huh?
Yeah, plus Shannon Sharp goes off on Jim Jones in that in a crazy interview, man, and it have to do with the gym, as he liked to say.
Jim Jones, the rapper, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's find out about all that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, it is the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. Before I get to this crazy, I don't want to call it a crazy story, but somebody being sued over posting a picture of themselves. Before I get to that, I got to bring up this dumbass criminal I just ran across on social media, man. So shout out to my cousin Ken. He go by Ken Gilliard. And he posted this. It's not my real cousin, by the way. I don't know how we related.
Oh, really?
We just found out we had the same last name, so we called each other cousin.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
Y'all definitely cousins then.
Yeah. So he posted a reel on Instagram, and it's a guy laying. He's in the Galleria, by the way. He's from Houston. He's in the Galleria inside the mall, and it's a guy in the middle of the ice rink. And I see some cops and all that stuff around. And I say, what the hell? What the hell happened? And this caption is, bro jumped from the second level in the Houston Galleria to run from the police and broke both his legs.
He thought jumping on the ice was the one.
You can't get no stupider than that. Unless you about to do a life sentence.
Yeah.
And it's over anyway. Bro, what are you doing?
Wait, what was he doing that the cops had to pull up on him at the Galleria?
No, I guess from what I could tell, or what I think is, he probably stole something from a store or something like that. It looked like he had a phone in his hand. I don't know. It looked like he might have stole something and was trying to run and decided to jump from the second or third floor.
The mall's got to be
the ice rink.
The mall's got to be, and the gallery in particular with the size of it, it's got to be the worst place to try and do a grab and run, right?
I don't know. Maybe the size helps because, like, there's so many people around and everything. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of security there at the gallery, especially right over by the ice rink. They're always posted up on the next level where he jumps from.
Wait, Luke, you've been checking out where the security at?
Well, I live right across the street from the Galleria. I've gone there to eat lunch at the food court way too many times because
really?
I love a mall food court.
I would have never imagined you being a food court lover.
Love the food
you
court.
You are a great complainer. I love your ability to complain. I really do.
Wait, what
I
you
respect
be getting?
It.
Thank you. I love mall Chinese food, but also they got a Raising Cane's over there, which is the closest
one. You went
one
to the mall for? Oh, okay.
No, it's walking. It's right
one.
Across it the street.
Okay, okay.
It's a 2-minute walk for me, so... and it's right next to the ice skating rink. So, yeah, I know that very well. I walk right down. I would never jump down, but I walk right down there, get whatever, maybe get a smoothie.
I will say this. I felt like the Galleria Mall have been kind of going down the last couple months, man, because it seemed like it's all type of shoot. I think it was a couple shootings going on. It was a lot of stuff going on. It's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, there was two in like the same week, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I saw it on the news. I'm like, damn.
Figgy said this used to be a nice place.
I know.
Too much riffraff around here.
It really did used to be a nice place. It's still, whenever I go over there, it's still kind of nice.
It's still real nice. Come
but,
on.
But man, we gotta stop the violence, man. We can't be having all that going on.
He said, cut that riffraff off.
I know. I can't walk to Raising Cane's anymore.
Man. Unless you had that security guards that or the officers or whatever. All right, let's get to it, man. So Robin Thicke, are you familiar with Robin Thicke?
Yes, I am.
So he is being sued for posting a paparazzi picture of himself on his Instagram without paying the photographer.
Man, he got to be sick of getting sued now, ain't he?
Yeah, I feel like he's a mark at this point, man. You can't even post a picture of your damn self.
He was the one that got for Blurred Lines by the Marvin Gaye state, right?
It damn near ended his career. It damn near ended his career. But
so this would be L number 3 that he carries if this suit comes through, because there's this one, there's the Marvin Gaye suit, and then there's losing Paula Patton. Because how do you do that, brother?
Yeah, and then you name your next album Paula, and that album flopped. You can't name an album after your the wife or the girl you're trying to get back, and that album flopped.
It's got to be heat. It's got to be a album full of bangers if you're trying to get somebody. Like, if this is my grand gesture to try and get my lady back, you can't have flops on there. It can't be that.
Yeah. So this kind of got me thinking, what are some silly rules or laws that need to be changed in honor of this? And look, I'm not saying he's in the right or the wrong or anything. I mean, if it's not your picture, then I guess the photographer do have a point of, you know, getting his money, because I don't know what happened. But what are some silly rules that you feel like need to change? I have a couple of them that kind of came to my brain. I feel like people who invented HOA rules need to live under those same rules.
Oh, 100%.
I don't have HOA, so I'm totally fine. But I feel like you can't make up all these rules and don't buy by these rules your damn self.
Well, the problem is the people that are making rules, they do abide by the rules. But the problem is they're rules that fit them because they made the rules. Like, I think that's the tough part about it. It's just that my grandmother always used to say common sense ain't really common. It's like, hey man, let people live as long as it's not like a real problem for others. The problem that ends up popping up is that it don't have to be a problem for others. I just don't like it, and so here is an email, or here is a letter that says that you owe us $200, or you need to paint the side of your house or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like you need to live in that type of rules too. If you the one that came up with this, I don't think that's fair. Another one that kind of hit me personally, man. Shout out to all my streamers, all my YouTubers out there. we should be able to play a little bit of a song on there without getting banned and your account getting suspended and all that stuff, man. That stuff is ridiculous at this point, man, because I understand these record labels try to protect everything because a lot of people can make money, a whole bunch of money off of something. But come on, man, like, I could play like a 5-second snippet or something, and then next thing you know, my whole page is blocked. They need to stop that, man. I don't understand the purpose of doing this.
Stop using our music.
Yeah. That it does kind of get ridiculous.
Especially if you're trying to promote the music. That's the worst part about it. Like, I'll be trying to big up a song or something and be like, oh, yeah, this is it right here. And then next thing you know, you banned. Yeah. I'm like, man, I don't want to talk about it now.
Yeah, that's real nasty work. Kix Rock said, Fig, we knew you didn't have an HOA after you told us about that 3-foot grass.
Oh, yeah. No, I would have been kicked out of the house. They probably would have forced me to sell a house with that grass.
I don't get that. Does anybody like HOAs? They're the worst. I don't get why we do this.
HOAs are great for the folks that volunteer to be the hall monitor. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's like, all it is.
That's what it serves. That's the purpose that it serves.
Yeah, it's a bunch of old people with nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Older people.
Young people that really enjoy the opportunity of power. Have you ever seen like a young person in one of those types of situations? The old people, at least you get it, right? Maybe they're retired, or maybe this is like something that they have that allows them to have some level of purpose. That sounds very judgmental. You get what I mean? It's the young person that's like, no, rather than doing other things that typically young people will do, I will terrorize these people in their time
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it's a red flag when you see something like that. And maybe, let's say you in a little community thing, and they say, hey, we need somebody that could be on our board to help us, you know, keep the neighborhood clean. And you got that young person, I'll do it. Like, man, like, ain't you busy? Like, what you worry about this stuff for?
Yeah.
Leave that to the people that ain't busy.
Same person that would ask the teacher about homework at the end of class.
Like, wait, you forgot to check our homework.
Yeah, or you forgot to assign it, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Somebody's...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. So Jim Jones, who is a rapper out of New York, who is part of the legendary group Dipset, he was kind of ticking a lot of people off this, I want to say the last month or so. So he got into a big thing about him being better than the rapper Nas, and that kind of ticked everybody off. So he was making the media rounds and all that good stuff, and he was on with The Nightcap with Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp. And it started off talking about him and Nas as rappers and all that. So we ain't got to get into all of that. This ain't a hip-hop podcast. But if you want a hip-hop
there
podcast,
it is. Yeah.
Gems of Juice podcast, yeah, every Friday.
That's what we call a plug, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. So here is Jim Jones and Shannon Sharp going back and forth. And they brought up the whole gym thing, because Jim Jones, he likes to work out. He records his workouts and all that stuff. So it got into a bit of a heated discussion right here.
You talk about you in the gym. Now you want to get me? You want to want me to see me in the gym?
Oh, we can do
since
that.
You like to talk that ish. Now come see me in the gym.
We talking about working out.
Come see me in the gym.
We talking about working out or strength.
Hey,
what are you talking about? Working out or strength?
However you want to do it.
We talking about
since you got money.
And we talking about
put your money
out,
where your mouth feels.
You got so you talking about working
run
out.
Them stacks.
You talking about working out? I burn you. You talking about working out of strength? Because you probably can lift a lot more than me.
Whatever.
You're bigger than me. You're probably stronger than
whatever.
Me. But if you talk about working out, you talking about working out? I burn you.
This ain't what you do. This ain't what you want. You are doing good when you talking about Nas and Jada. You don't want
to
see this.
You better check the stat.
You don't want to check the stat.
You better go to my IG. Set it up,
man. Please.
Also set it up.
I have a couple questions out of this,
yeah,
man. So what is I understand the whole lifting thing. Like, that's, you could get competition from there. What is the competition of just a workout? Like, what are we competing against?
I did not understand that at all. Like, I will never cease to be amazed by a New Yorker's ability to, like, hold the line in a way. Like, yeah, you stronger than me, yeah. But can you? Is it working out? What you mean by working out? Like,
what's the difference between lifting the most and working? Like, what is the competition in the workout? Unless you're talking about maybe a race, or you see how many miles somebody can run the fastest or something. Like, what is the workout? Like, what's the competition right there?
I don't know. And then also, I don't know where he thought he was getting trying to talk to this former NFL player that still looks like he's cut up like a pack of ground beef about this. Just let him have it. You got it are the magical words there. It's all you. You got it.
Yeah, he was very competitive in this.
He said, check my stats.
Yeah, so that was Jim Jones. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'm kind of intrigued to see what the hell is this competition. What is the workout? Like, are they just doing push-ups? Is this going to be like a combine? Or I'm not sure exactly what it is.
I guess a combine of sorts. Like, I don't know what Jim Jones was fighting for at that point. Like, I guess he was just fighting for a level of pride.
Yeah, I think he was just kind of fired up because Shannon Sharp took the side of Nas and felt like Nas is better than him. So he probably just fired up.
Yeah, probably. I guess so. But, yeah, more power to you, because one thing I know about myself, and maybe this is just because I'm not in the gym like Jim Jones and definitely not in the gym like Shannon Sharp, I'm not challenging that man to nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, nah, you got it, man.
That's
you got
entirely it. All you.
Real quick, we get out of here on this. So, do you guys recycle? Are you like an avid recycler, or you just do it whenever you see it?
Yeah, whenever I see it.
Yeah, it's whenever I see it. Unfortunately, I don't have the opportunity to. So, like, it goes in the trash, unfortunately.
Yeah, so this might be a little crazy idea, but a study found recycling should have a lottery jackpot. How would you feel about a lottery jackpot?
How would that work? Is there any level of explanation?
Yeah, so a study found more people would recycle if you made it more into a lottery system, which is instead of 10 cents per bottle, each bottle give people 1 in 10,000 chance to win $1,000. Would that make you recycle a little more?
Make me recycle a little more.
Yeah, I mean, like the incentive on the other side of, hey, maybe I can get a little bit of money out of this thing that I've already drank out of this or what have you. And I mean, it's got to go somewhere. If choosing to put it in the right place gives me an opportunity and maybe getting $1,000, I'll absolutely do that.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. I think I would probably recycle more if that was the case.
I would recycle more. I wouldn't go crazy. It's only 1,000. It's what, 1 in 10,000, whatever you said, to win 1,000. Yeah. You know, if it was like life-changing money, sure, then I become a huge recycler, but
it's not enough free money, Fig.
Yeah, but this could be something simple as just recycling at the house, because I don't recycle at the house. No. I probably should, but I don't. But if I'm at a store or a restaurant and they got the recyclable can right there, I will put it in the right can.
That is a good point, yeah, though. Like, we can't trust people to be up and up on this. Somebody's going to rig the recycling.
Of course.
That was the other thing I was going to say. Or even if they even, I'm not going to be sold that they even give out the money. It's like when you go to your CVS or wherever, like CVS got busted and it says you like want to round up for so-and-so charity. I don't know where that money's actually going. And these companies have gotten busted for just taking that money. How do I know anyone's getting paid out for recycling? This is just all a ploy to get you to recycle more. And they're not paying out anybody.
Keep your third eye open. Luke, that's right. Luke sees it.
Yeah. We had to make an announcement. Did anybody get paid? Did anybody win that $1,000?
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody said not enough usage either. All right. That is Figgy's Mixtape at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you see something you believe mixtape worthy, let him know. He'll shout you out at 1:20 p.m. every weekday when the mixtape gets done. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll chat with the fellas of the drive. Before we get there, somebody did ask, has any city actually been able to do the three-peat and have three champions in the same calendar year? Let's talk about that more next.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Datatula alongside Luke Morrow, who's in for John Lopez on the day. Appreciate you, man. It's been fun having you in all day long. Figgy Fig, obviously. Holding it down as well. And thank you for rolling with us all the way. We're getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron, here in a little bit. But before we get there, we've gotten the latest All-Star ballot check-in. as the first phase of All-Star voting in Major League Baseball will time out in a few days, the 26th at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And looking at it, Astros are represented in the voting, but kind of far back in many different situations. Interestingly enough, Christian Walker is fifth when it comes to voting in at first base with about 246,000 votes. It is Vladdy Guerrero at the top with over a million, 1.1 or almost 1.2 mil votes. Second base, Altuve is still getting a lot of votes at second base. That's where he's listed. I understand it. He has almost 800,000 votes. That's a good 3,000 votes or 300,000 votes behind the leader at second base in the AL, Gleyber Torres, who's up there. Also behind Jackson Holliday of the Orioles, who have had their little bit of a resurgence. Jeremy Pena is the one that I find to be very interesting because he felt like he'd have a good opportunity. One would think it's a tough group of guys to battle against because Jacob Wilson is having such a great year thus far.
Yep.
He leads with 1.1 mil. Bobby Witt has about 800,000 to 900,000 votes. And Jeremy Pena with 600,000 votes. Like, he's still just kind of out of pace there. And then Isak Paredes comes in fifth. He's well behind, very, very far behind. Jose Ramirez is going to be your starter at third base. Like, he just has a ton of votes. And also receiving votes, Yainer Diaz, fourth when it comes to catchers in the AL. Not going to get anywhere close Kyle Raleigh. Kyle Raleigh has been incredible this year. But, yeah, man, a lot of guys receiving votes when it comes to Astros. Yordan also receiving votes, but he's a good 600,000 votes behind. So, like, it doesn't look like you're going to have starters, at least when it comes to this, in All-Star voting for the Astros. But they're being recognized at the very least. They're showing up with votes, just not nearly at the top of any of the voting in the AL.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat, if I remember it correctly, that 7 of the top 27 in WAR in the American League are at the shortstop position. So that's the one guy or the guy that should be at the top of the list for the Astros, and Jeremy Pena, I would say, to potentially be a starter. But that just happens to be the best position in the American League or the deepest position. So it's tough to crack. The other guys, realistically, I don't think any of them should be starters anyways. But to your point, I mean, at least they're getting acknowledged. They're in the race, the top five, and they're getting plenty of votes. But Pena would be the one guy for me from a position player perspective that you could make a strong case should be a starter. He just happens to be at the toughest position to crack through right now in the AL.
Right. I could ask you what you need to see for them to be starters. That's neither here nor there. But we were talking about the idea of Houston kind of trying to situate itself as a city of champions in some ways. They acquire Kevin Durant. The Rockets now have the second best odds in the NBA to win next year's NBA championship. Obviously, we just crowned a champion this year yesterday in the Oklahoma City Thunder. But we were situating and talking about who has the best chances. We agree that that the Rockets have the best probably opportunity right now, and then probably the Astros, then the Texans. What would you need to see from the Astros and the Texans to make you feel more confident about their opportunities here? Obviously, with the Astros nearing, to some degree, the trade deadline, you know, what would you want to see there? And then, obviously, with the Texans, what are you looking to see to give you some confidence that they can go and contend with the likes of the Ravens and the Bills and maybe even the Chiefs in that AFC?
For the Astros, I think it's just simply getting guys back, getting Yordan back healthy and hopefully hitting even better than he was prior to the injury this year. I mean, he would have to be. Getting some of those starters back at some point soon. Arrighetti and McCullers, and hopefully you get Javier to return and all those different arms. And then that almost serves as your trade deadline. Then you don't need to really go out and make so many moves at the deadline because you're getting all of these reinforcements back. And if you already have like the second best record in the AL despite missing all these pieces, well, then theoretically, once you add these pieces back, you should be even better than how you've already been playing. So for the Astros, I guess it's really just the health. Like, when are these guys going to come back? How soon? And how much can you get from them after these injuries? For the Texans, it's a little more complicated. I guess I would say all of the hope becoming a reality. Like, there's a lot of hope right now that this reworked offensive line is going to be better, in large part because maybe even just the coaching. Hopefully that plays out. There's a lot of hope that Nick Caley is going to be the better offensive coordinator, but he's never done it before. So hopefully that works out. And then even, you know, I've said this before, but I have some concerns about the weapons where you're relying on a Christian Kirk who's been injury prone, and you're relying on two rookies that you hope are ready to jump in to begin their NFL careers. And as we know, draft picks are always still kind of a 50-50 proposition. So I think it's just simply like the hope becoming the reality that everything you think could work out, will work out for the Texans, and these all do turn out to be positives, and the plan plays out perfectly as they've laid it out this offseason and allows them to be as successful as possible and maybe some expect.
I find it interesting that you still have like that high problem with Christian Kirk injury-wise, especially since the most recent one was the kind of that collarbone, one of those injuries that I don't know if I can hold against you. One of those ones that it doesn't seem like it's going to be like a continual problem per se.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like a high concern, just it's part of the equation. I think sure. There's this wide variance that best case scenario, Kirk plays all 17 games and does what we saw a few years ago, and the rookies adapt comfortably pretty quickly, and you get the best case scenario from all three. Worst case scenario is some sort of injury does sprout up for Christian Kirk, who's missed some time. The rookies show that, you know, maybe they're still a work in progress, and then you're not as deep or as formidable at those weapons offensively as maybe you once thought you were going to be.
Yeah, I still feel really good about the weapons that, at the very least, the ones that you know that you are going to have. When you talk about Nico and Joe Mixon are already like a great start, and I think with a combination of the guys that you have, it feels like you should be able to utilize those guys to be effective, right? But the one that I definitely agree with you is just having a play caller in it in his first time. Like, so much of play calling is having knowing what the answers to certain looks are, right? That's what you're doing as a player, right? Is you're giving yourself an opportunity to see these looks over and over when you're practicing, so that when you see it in a game, you know how to respond to it. And that similarly, as a play caller, I think through calling plays in games, you learn, hey, in certain situations, these are plays that work in these places. Now, of course, you get that. There's a level of quote-unquote mental reps, but I imagine doing the job yourself adds a different level of, I don't know, experience, expertise, or what have you. And so hopefully Nick Caley can jump in and hit the ground running, and hopefully the likes of like C.J. Stroud can help make him right on the ground. But he is also doing some of this for the first time, like having the grasp on all that. But yeah, man, that's what we have to look forward to. And hopefully also during the course of a season, and this is where having an easier division I think helps, during the course of the season as you're picking that up, hopefully having the easier division allows you to still get to the place where you win a division, have an opportunity at a home wild card game at the very least, while still maybe allowing you to figure some things out on the run and on the fly as you get towards the postseason. The season itself can be some level of learning opportunity and a laboratory for you as you go.
Yeah, certainly. Fair point. And as they say, for a lot of the athletes, there's nothing like game reps. And to your point, I'm sure it's similar for, you know, the first-time play caller.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.